Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. Live, hour 2. In LA, it's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. It's Wednesday. Joy Taylor's joining me. In within 10 minutes, hopefully 5, not to put pressure on my staff, I'm going to show you a video that is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
You will not see it on any other sports show in America today.
I have so many questions.
It's unbelievable. Go ahead. You can go to the other stations, but the video, we're going to play it for about 15 seconds, and you know, you're just going to be out there crying that I didn't see the great video. So in your face if you do that, because this video is unbelievable. I just can't get over it. I cannot get over the video. It is literally crazy town.
It is. You're not exaggerating at all.
So we're going to try to get it. Now, the staff will tell me in my ear. I got an earpiece on right here. I have to wear this. From time to time, you know, hey, go to a commercial, blah, blah, blah. So they'll tell me when we have the video. I don't know. This just does something for me.
It does. Yes, I agree.
There's a visceral reaction. Every time I see this about every 4 years, and I saw something and I just went, oh my God. It's an OMG moment.
It would have been a great interview during quarantine.
We should have done that.
Yeah.
My bad.
So many questions.
Okay, 5 minutes. Or you can go to other less fascinating shows and not get the video. I mean, it's up to you. So two things. I'm shocked by the Cam thing. Not going to apologize to him, as Nick Wright offered. But I am surprised by it. But what I like is a lot of players in professional sports do not understand the value of culture. And I said that earlier this week. Talent without culture is what Antonio Brown's career looks like right now, or OBJ, where you got all sorts of talent, but they're in cultures that historically are weird. Or, you know, Le'Veon Bell, who I like. He went from the Steelers, great offensive line, great GM, great quarterback, didn't value culture, went to the Jets, and look what he is now. It's and he's talented, but it's his career is irrelevant. OBJ is kind of irrelevant. AB right now is irrelevant. Cam's not, because Cam has the self-awareness to go, oh, this culture thing with my talent is really valuable. And he talked about this on Boston Radio yesterday.
I do admire and love the culture of the Patriots. And it's been a place for me that's been therapeutic. This is a place that has been kind of rather challenging for my growth, and it's making me better. And also, you know, it has been a place that has given me everything for my needs at this particular point in time in my life.
So it's really cool. A very independent rock star is saying, you know what, I need the orchestra. And it's cool. And this, I said this Monday morning when I came on. If this is the Cam I got 7 years ago, I'd be pro Cam. I've always compared him to Westbrook. I'm not doubting the talent, but can you bring it down? Can you understand structure and culture? Otherwise, you're just a talented guy running around. This is really cool. And I think most of us, and myself included, have thought this is a rental situation. But there's a couple of things going on here. It may not be a rental situation. And can we at least let's be honest about this. Belichick's the best coach Cam could get because he's the best coach in the world. So Cam being here may not be perfect for Belichick. Maybe it is. But it is perfect for Cam. This is where he could flourish. You're never going to get better coaching, better defense, better structure. So I think deep down, Cam's like, I'm kind of digging this. This is pretty good. I like this. There's not a lot of places better for Cam. I mean, Chicago could go pay him in the offseason, but the Bears have a history of dysfunction. You know, maybe the Colts could go out and pay him, but they got Phillip Rivers, and, you know, I mean, they're not New England, right? Couple things working for Cam. Number one is New England appears to be way too good to get a top 6-7 pick. They appear to be. Now, maybe the wheels come off, Edelman gets hurt. You know, maybe something happens, but they appear to be way too good, and their division appears to be, as usual, all full of dysfunction. Number one. Number two is, never forget this. Cam was great against Belichick. He was 2-0 against him. Look it up. I went, when Cam signed with New England, it was that day or the next day I went to YouTube, and I went and watched the Patriot-Panther games. Cam ate him up. He couldn't stop Cam. Two quarterbacks in this league he's faced a handful of times, Russell Wilson and Cam. He couldn't stop them. Bill could not stop them. So in Bill's world, okay, he was really hard to defend, and oh, wow, it's like we don't miss Tom or anything. So, and even if Belichick thought he has had some injuries, I am running him a lot, it may not be a long story, wouldn't you love to have Cam Newton there and draft Justin Fields, who may drop to 5 or 6? Maybe you can move up to that. I mean, you're not moving up to number one. Because, I mean, you're just not. You're not. You're, and New England's not going to be close to the number one pick. But if they ended up with the 11th or 12th, could you get a Trey Lance? Could you get a Justin Fields? You're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. And have him sit behind Cam, an MVP and a pro for a few years? I don't know. I just, this was always a rental to me. And now I look at it and I'm like, well, hell, New England's way too good to get a top 6-7 pick. And by the way, the teams that need a quarterback are not going to let New England. You could give them 9 picks. If you need a quarterback, you're going to get a quarterback. Just stuff to think about. And I do like that he's embracing structure, because I think talent without it, I've seen it my whole life. It's just out in the first round of the playoffs or you don't make the playoffs. So this is interesting. This is a story that's really happening. The New York Giants hope that Daniel Jones' growing pains end soon. The organization's getting frustrated with him. Okay, now he's had 14 starts. And by the way, 14 starts with a fired coach and an unproven one. The hell? Just think about this, how the world's changed. There's so many good young quarterbacks now, everybody's impatient. Eli Manning's third year, and Eli's going to be a Hall of Famer. Third year in the league, he completed 57% of his throws, had a 77 quarterback rating, 24 TDs, 18 picks. But Colin, he won a Super Bowl in his fourth year. Yeah, he led the NFL in interceptions and still completed less than 59% of his throws. Eli Manning took forever. And ever. The guy had 60 interceptions, 70 interceptions, 80 interceptions until he won a Super Bowl. And we're all like, okay. All right. Again, the Jets and the Giants are in a very interesting situation. The television ratings for both are in the tank, meaning they're not selling jerseys. Nobody's watching it. And when COVID ends, how do you know the stadiums? There's not much interest right now for either franchise. You don't know if you have the right coach. You don't know if you have the right quarterback. My guess is, right now in the NFL, Washington's defense is too good to not win 3 or 4 games in that crappy division. Jacksonville's offense is too good not to win 3 or 4 games in that dysfunctional division. The Jets don't look at their schedule. The Jets don't look like they got 2 wins on this schedule right now. And the Giants may be worse. At minimum, these teams have the top 2 or 3 draft picks. From what I have seen through weeks 1 and 2, these are horrible football teams. Let me ask you, Trevor Lawrence is available. Would you bail on Daniel Jones right now? Would you bail on Sam Darnold? Because Trevor Lawrence is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. That doesn't mean he's going to be as good as Lamar Jackson, but as a prospect, he's better. As a prospect, he's Andrew Luck. He's John Elway. I've said he is one of 3 college quarterbacks I've seen coming out. There's no miss. Elway was the first. Luck was the second. He's the third. So even if you have a quarterback that you like, Sam Darnold, and I think in the building they like Sam Darnold, he's not that, and he's not winning games, not with this coaching staff. So it's funny. I thought this morning, what would I do? I would move off Daniel Jones, because although I've seen glimpses of competence and glimpses of he's better than I thought, I've seen no glimpses of great. Sam Darnold, I'd keep, and I'd get a bevy of picks. You could get 5 picks. If you had the number one pick, you could easily get 5, 6, 7 picks and, you know, substantiate your Darnold pick. Because with Darnold, though I've seen inconsistency, behind a bad offensive line and a suboptimal receiving core, I have seen glimpses of great. I saw one of it this weekend. He had a touchdown throw. It's on the Jets' website. There have been moments with Sam Darnold where he's like, this was a play this weekend. He is just running for his life, and you're like, how did he do that? You get about 2 of those a game. Watch it here. This should be a sack. It's not a sack. He's going against his body. He gives you that stuff, and he gives it to you once or twice a Sunday with a bad O-line outside of left tackle and a suboptimal receiving core. And right now they have no running backs and a coach nobody likes. So I think I would stay with Darnold, and I would think about it, though. I want to see the rest of Sam Darnold's season. This morning, I would keep Darnold and trade all the picks, and I'd get a bunch of picks. Because let's be honest, if there's a team that really needs them, there's not many left in the NFL. There's about four teams that need a quarterback. Indy, in New England this morning, you can't say they need a quarterback. Jacksonville, they'd take him, but they don't need one to score. They're scoring 25-30 a game. So it's very interesting. There's no marketable players right now in New York. I mean, who's marketable? Saquon's done. Who's marketable? Darnold's about it. And again, how marketable are you when you may be the worst football team in the league? I mean, they're a 10.5 point dog to the Colts, who lost to Jacksonville. That is a bad football team. Okay, don't show the video yet. All right, a lot of you people just say, I'm not going to watch the show. Oh, sad. So bad, so sad. Your friends will see it, you won't, in your face. Okay, now, this is a 33-year-old Brazilian woman off the coast of Portugal. This wave would topple a luxury liner and destroy a house. Look at this woman surfing this wave. 33-year-old young woman from Brazil. Look at that wave. It is an 80-foot-tall wave. That would topple a luxury liner. And she surfed down it. Now, that's slow motion.
It's so terrifying.
Does everybody understand? That wave would kill people. If you fall off the board there and you're not a professional surfer, you would die there. That's off the coast of Portugal.
Her name is Maya Gabiera.
Welcome on the show anytime.
It's like I get nervous watching it.
Look at the size. I live in Manhattan Beach. That would flood our town. We get 6-foot waves and they make noise.
Yes. That's 73.5 feet.
That's an 80-story building right there.
No, thank you.
An 80-story building.
No, thank you. It's so remarkable.
I would not bungee jump from that height.
Well, yeah, I'm not bungee jumping off anything, but that's nature.
The hell it is, yeah. I don't know what it is. That is amazing.
It is really, really, it's stunning is what it is.
All right. By the way, take the video off. If you just joined us. Oh, bummer. Yeah, you went over and listened to a couple of nobody's talking about nothing. Over here, we're showing exclusive video of Brazil or Portugal or something.
Well, I don't know if it's not exclusive to us.
Well, yeah,
but.
Well, you're not getting this on First Opinion over at the other place, whatever it's called. Whatever that show's called. You're not getting it there. They're breaking down the Clippers. Here, revolutionary video.
It was. Stunning video.
Okay. All right, Joel Klatt, stunning himself, joining us next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Baseball's postseason is coming, and FS1 will be your home for the National League Divisional Series. It all gets underway on October 6th, the NLDS on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Are they doing that in specific sites? Are they having a semi-bubble now? They're going to go neutral sites. Okay, that's been established. I saw the story.
They're going to be down in Dallas, new Globe Life Park, I believe.
Is that it?
I believe so.
All right, Joel Klatt played college football, set all the records at Colorado. Not like they were a big bar there, but nonetheless, you broke some records in college. And now you're a great analyst for this network, growing some facial hair. No, I'm just joking. Okay, so.
It's good to see. By the way, it's great to be here with you. It's so good to be here.
I think you're our first live guest.
Is this it?
You're our first live guest. Who was here? Well, Acho works over there, so that's not really fair. He stumbled over here.
Right, yeah.
We scheduled you.
There we go. And I came in just for you.
Thank you.
You bet. Right. Enjoy.
And maybe you noticed.
Good to have you back, Joel.
It's good to be back.
Did you notice anything different about me?
Yeah, your facial hair.
What do you
Which
think?
Is why I didn't shave either today.
Out of respect.
Out of respect, yeah, that's right, for my elders.
Like No Shave November or something, isn't that a thing?
Yes, it is. Maybe we'll do Movember. There we go.
Yeah. So I'm gonna be suspicious Big J journalism.
Okay.
So I look at all these Big Ten schedules that come out.
Oh, yes.
Funny.
I know where you're going with this.
The conference gives Ohio State, their only national championship contender, a cakewalk for 2 months.
Let's be fair, though. Let's be fair. Ohio State was going to be double-digit favorites against any Big Ten team anyways, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Time out. They got rolled by Purdue and Iowa last 2 years. That doesn't mean anything. This team has gone belly up the last 2 years and gotten rolled against average teams.
No, that's wrong. Actually, last year they were the first team in the history of college football to go 9-0 through a regular season through a 9-game conference schedule and win the conference championship game. So go 10-0 through a conference schedule.
That was the year before.
That's okay. The year before, yes, they did lose to Purdue.
In the year,
you said the last 2 years, not 2 years ago.
Okay. The point Big Ten gave them a cakewalk to the national championship.
I don't know if you can say that they went out of their way for Ohio State. Here's what I will tell you. I felt like the top two teams in each division got really solid crossover games.
All right.
Okay, so when you're crossing over to the other division, so for instance, I think that the three most favorable schedules in the kind of new iteration of the Big Ten schedule were Ohio State because they don't have to play themselves. Then you've got Minnesota and Wisconsin, and the reason is because Minnesota and Wisconsin are, I think, the two best teams in the West, and they miss both Penn State and Ohio State from the opposite division because I think Penn State's a little better than Michigan this year. Meanwhile, the two losers, the team that got absolutely hammered, everyone's been talking about Nebraska, but Michigan as well. Those are the only two schools that have to play the top two teams from the opposite division. And then in Michigan's case, they also have to play Ohio State and Penn State in their own division.
So Jim Harbaugh was very outspoken against the conference. Do you think the Big Ten stuck it to him a little?
You know, I want that to be true just because I'm with you, right? Like the college football, I want these types of rivalry and conspiracy things to be accurate. So it's
out
like,
there.
Hey, Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh, we're going to stick it to you. But in reality, the guy who pushed the hardest and maybe did the most from a coaching perspective to bring the Big Ten back to a point where we're going to play fall football was Ryan Day at Ohio State. And in fact, his AD was very prominent. Their doctors were prominent. All their right. president was prominent. If you wanted to pin why is the Big Ten playing football this fall, it is because Ohio State pressed as hard as they did, and then they got what would be considered a favorable schedule.
Okay. It's really funny in the NFL right now because of Lamar's success and Kyler Murray's success. Mm-hmm. Even somebody like me, which was always kind of pocket guys win, little mobility fine, don't need it. I kind of look around at Justin Fields at Ohio State, and I'm like, this Trey Lance kid at North Dakota, and I'm like, boy, you got to run.
Yeah.
Although, let's talk Trevor Lawrence, because Clemson's the best team I've seen so far. I don't have much to work with,
sure,
but he's great. In your years of doing college football, is Trevor Lawrence the best prospect?
No, I still think Luck was.
You think Luck was better than him?
I think Luck was in the years I've covered college, but it is razor thin. I hesitate there. Part of the issue is that I don't think Trevor has had the level of competition, in particular in the ACC, right? Like, I don't know. The Citadel, I'm not getting much. We're throwing against air, basically.
No, it's been a junk conference for 4 years.
So, but that being said, man, I mean, he's as good of a prospect as
I've
seen.
He's got a better arm than Luck.
Luck had a very good arm. Luck was bigger, a little bit more physical, a little bit more mobile, although we saw last year in the semifinal against Ohio State the athleticism from Trevor. I think Trevor is and probably should be the number one pick, but you bring up a great point because in today's NFL, it's no longer we have to get the pocket passer. Now what we have to do is we've got to get the best football player for the position, and Kyler is proving that out. Lamar is proving that out. These guys are great throwers of the football and are showing the acumen to pass the football at a requisite level and the athleticism, and that's where Fields pops in because Justin Fields got so much better last year as a passer from week one all the way until they played
Michigan. Justin Fields looks like the NFL today. This is what the NFL, he can make the throws, he's sturdy, and he moves well.
And he moves really well, but more than anything, I just felt like his ability to throw the ball, in particular downfield, got so much better last year, and you got to credit Mike Yurcich, who's now the offensive coordinator at Texas, but also Ryan Day, for their development of him, because I will tell you this, not this last spring, but obviously the spring before it, when he first arrived from Georgia, Colin, I was standing with Ryan Day at a spring football practice in their indoor facility in Columbus.
Look how easy he throws.
But I got to tell you, he was throwing the football on the field, and Ryan goes, we got a lot of work to do. He was not a finished product coming from Georgia, and I think that the system, the coaching, Ryan, Mike Yurcich, and then Justin Fields' work ethic brought him to a point where he's as good of a passer down the field as anybody in college football, which is why it's not going to be just totally cut and clear who the number one pick is for some of these NFL teams come next spring.
Yeah, he's good. All right, so listen, SEC play starts this weekend.
Yeah.
This is the shocker of college football. Alabama doesn't get a play Panera bread seven times. So Alabama got a little bit of a tough schedule.
Well, not only a tough schedule, everybody in the SEC. This is going to be, I think, the most interesting year to watch SEC football ever because they're all going to play 10 games.
No cupcakes.
No cupcakes whatsoever. League only. Just to give you a sense of how different it is, Nick Saban only twice during his tenure at Alabama has had to play five consecutive weeks without a bye, a group of five, or an FCS.
That is ridiculous.
Okay. That's the most, and it's only happened twice where he had to play five consecutive Power 5 opponents on consecutive weeks. By the way, did you know one of those was 2012? Guess which opponent was fifth? Texas A&M with Johnny Manziel, and they lost that game.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't defend Johnny Manziel. Last 2 years, so 2018 and 2019, for Alabama, the most consecutive weeks that they played Power 5 opponents was three.
That is brutal. This is what drives me nuts about Alabama. I'm not saying they're not good, but it's like Tom Brady. You put him on the road in the playoffs, he's 500. His division had no question helped Tom Brady.
Sure.
Nick Saban manipulates this thing around. He's just looking for a truck stop. He can roll nine guys out and win.
So they're going to open the year with six straight consecutive weeks against the SEC.
Good teams?
They're all pretty good. Remember, the SEC is deeper this year because Tennessee is better. Kentucky's better.
Florida A&M is better.
Florida is better. You still have Georgia. You still have Auburn. You still have LSU.
Watch Alabama get unveiled a little bit.
Maybe, but I don't know if it'll matter because, remember, we're still taking the four best teams. I think this is the year that we might get a two-loss team into the college football playoff.
I'm okay with that.
Because the committee's going to say, listen, with that schedule, they're still one of the four best teams, and I'm okay with that as well.
I like Saban's Aflac commercials, but I hate his schedules.
The schedules are terrible.
Embarrassing, kind of.
You know the last time he went on the road in a true non-conference road game? Penn State in like 2011, I think it was.
Brutal.
That's brutal.
Like,
you're right.
Nick's running a schedule like he doesn't think we watch the games. He's like, hey, I'm pulling a fast one on everybody. Nobody's watching. No, Nick, everybody's watching because you're the program of note. He doesn't go on the road.
Georgia, by the way, got hammered in their schedule. They're going to play five ranked teams in a six-week stretch. Whew. Wow. I can't wait to watch that play.
That's going
to
be great. All right, what do you got this weekend?
I've got at Oklahoma. We've got Kansas State at Oklahoma, we hope. I was in Waco last Friday when
things
that game
unraveled
went away.
Quick.
So we'll see what happens. But I can't wait to watch Spencer Rattler. I think he's the next great college prospect.
He's a sophomore, or a redshirt freshman.
He's a redshirt freshman. His arm talent is through the – I have not seen a young quarterback with his arm talent Mahomes.
Let's slow down now, Clack.
I just said arm talent. I just said Mahomes. He's got – all you got to do is look. I just watch the tape, folks. You know,
listen, I am here to protect the children.
Spencer is a great athlete.
He is. His arm is insane.
You did this with Joe Burrow. God, he was Joe Montana, and he was in diapers. Let's slow down. This Spencer Rattler's beating a bunch of teams.
Joe Burrow had the single best college football season any quarterback's ever had, and he's got the feet of Joe Montana. I don't know if his career is going to pan out to be Montana.
One guy cares about the kids on this set.
Oh, my gosh.
I care about the kids.
Oh, my gosh. You got
him throwing them out there, making them Superman. It's like, let's slow down on Spencer Rattler.
Let me just give you some perspective. Last year, Patrick Mahomes, the longest throw he completed in the air was 53 yards. It was in the Super Bowl to Tyreek Hill. You remember the play?
It was the big play, whatever they call it, Razor or running around.
Yeah, I mean, great throw, right? And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, look at his arm. Last week, albeit against a terrible team in Missouri State, Spencer Rattler off his back foot threw a ball 52 yards in the air on the money for a touchdown. Like, his arm is incredible. You're going to get on board. Don't worry. I mean, I watched the film. I don't know what you're doing. You're out there watching surfers. Great. 80-story building. I watch football.
God. You know, you and Nick Wright, what's the point? There's no win for me. I'm up here. I'm a dartboard. You guys are just throwing heat at me all the time.
Well, but like a dartboard, you're easy to hit.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, we run out of time. Your mic doesn't work. That's unfortunate.
It's still on.
Okay.
The red light's still on.
By the way, check engine light comes on. Don't freak out. Get carshield.com. Carshield.com. No anxiety. They pay for everything. Once your warranty's over, carshield.com. That's Joel Klatt. That's Joy Taylor. She's got the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News. Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Good to have you back, Joel. And I agree with you on Spencer.
Thank you so much.
So the Chicago Bulls have hired Billy Donovan as their next head coach. He's replacing Jim Boylan, who went 39-84 in just under two full seasons with the team.
I want him on the show. Can I get Billy Donovan on the show, Goulet? Billy Donovan is the best coach in professional sports that nobody gets.
Yep.
He is a great coach.
In each of his five seasons with OKC and was the co-winner of the Coaches Association Coach of the Year Award this year. So he'll be looking to lead the Bulls to their first playoff appearance since the 2016-17 season.
Plus, he's going to come enjoy with big money and leverage. The front office in Chicago, I don't always love. That's a city with some weird front offices. But he's going to come in with money, leverage, and a long contract, so he's going to have say in personnel.
As he should.
Yes.
As he should. I think he's earned that at this point. There were a lot of questions about him for a while, and I think he's answered them. He deserves to.
When's the last time a team in any sport, Joy, we thought they were tanking, and you're like, oh, they're the hottest team in the NBA pre-COVID. They were. They were the hottest team the last month.
And they were impressive in the bubble. So his record with those OKC is 243-157. He reached the playoffs in each of his five seasons. Obviously lost to Houston in the first round of the playoffs this season. Zach LaVine learned about the hire during a Call of Duty live stream. And he said, wow, that'll be good. I do think this is a good move for the Bulls.
It.
This is an investment in the development of the future of that franchise, which I think is a franchise that we all kind of like when the Bulls are competitive.
Yes, Chicago.
They have too much legacy there.
It's Chicago sports fans are unbelievable.
Yes.
In the middle of the country, we can all kind of relate to it. And let's be honest. When Chicago's like Boston, when Boston, Chicago, when you get these iconic sports city and they're great and they're easy to rally around if you're not from there.
It just makes the leagues better.
Yes.
Yeah. So more details are coming out about Tyrod Taylor's injury during the warm-ups on Sunday.
Oh my God, I read this. Holy Lord.
A team doctor was reportedly giving him a pain-killing injection to help with a rib injury and accidentally punctured his lung.
I don't even, tell me it's not true. He's, you know, obviously he's fine long term.
Doctors have reportedly advised Taylor not to play indefinitely.
Oh my God.
So the Chargers were hoping that he was able to start Sunday, but the doctors are against it.
I don't know enough about the story to comment. Have you ever gone to a doctor left and you weren't sure the doctor knew exactly what he was doing? I had one of those in
Connecticut.
Luckily,
no, but I know lots of people that have, yeah.
Yeah.
So as if the Chargers didn't get hurt enough on their own, now the medical staff is injuring them?
I know, yeah. But this isn't funny. It's like, I read this story this morning.
I feel really bad for Tyrod. This is a bad situation. Because this is obviously he was injured or he wouldn't have been getting the injection, which guys get all the time. So this is not abnormal.
Yeah,
Guys get injections before they play, during games, all the time. To puncture your lung and now he's out indefinitely, I mean, I feel like he can't get a break. Like, this was his team this year. They had given him the starting position. Then you have Justin Herbert coming in, playing well. Now we're expecting him to start. We're expecting Tyrod to start next week because Anthony Lynn said he was still a starter.
By the way,
he can't.
Anthony Lynn's reaction to Justin Herbert still doesn't sit well with me. He's like, he's got a lot to learn. He made a lot of mistakes. I'm like, Anthony, we all watched. Maybe he wasn't great at the line of scrimmage.
It felt like some promises were made to Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, that's what that felt like. That felt like some very serious messaging that this is our starter. We are behind him. We didn't see enough from Justin Herbert to give him the team yet. But now that's no longer a conversation. Like, if he's not able to play indefinitely, obviously Justin Herbert is going to be starting. Now, good news for the Chargers. He looked capable last week. So, and he was the number six overall pick in the future of the franchise. So it's not like this is the worst situation for the Chargers, but this is awful for Tyrod. I mean, I don't know how that happens. Obviously not a doctor, but that's going to have some long-term implications, I'm sure, with that situation. Finally, Darren Waller has emerged as a star for the Raiders offense. He had 12 receptions for 103 yards and a touchdown Monday night against the Saints.
I don't know how you cover him.
He is so fun to watch. He's great.
6'7", runs a 4.4. I don't know how you cover him.
He's remarkable. And John Gruden said he wouldn't trade his tight end for anyone else in the league.
Darren's a great player, and our job is to try to get him the ball. And I've said it before. I don't know if I've said it to you, but I'd take him out of any of the tight ends. And I know Kittle and Kelsey are as good as they get, but Waller's right up there with them. This is a second year playing the position. It's astonishing what this man can do.
Yeah. The Raiders have a lot of fun weapons. I got to tell you something. I've watched their first two games. They're one of the best television products in the league in terms of just watching the Raiders play. Because, by the way, their defense, they don't get a pass rush, so they got to win by shootout. So you turn Raider games on, you're going to get all – I mean, God, they just everything. Their tight ends, their backs, their receivers, they got nothing but weapons. They're fun.
I really didn't know what to expect from them this year, but they've been nothing but impressive. And the Raiders are another – they're another team, like, you know, you were talking about Chicago teams. They're another team that's very easy to root for.
Easy.
Because they're just such a fun brand.
They're the outlaw of the NFL.
Yes. So, I mean, obviously, I'm sure, you know, you're in their division. It's not, that's not the case. But I always find the Raiders, when they're when they're playing well, it's just a, they're just a fun team to watch.
When I was a kid growing up, and many people will relate to this of my age, they were the 4 o'clock game. The sun would be going down. And they would play like the Miami Dolphins. It would be that late game against Dan Fouts and the Chargers. And it would be in Oakland. And the crowd was nuts. And they were always good. They had Fred Biletnikoff and Cliff Harris and Kenny Stabler. And they had all these rebels. When you grew up in the 70s and early 80s, they were the late game on television. And the sun would be coming down in Oakland. And they were in, and they were facing Elway. And it's just that Raider games were great.
And they're... their culture, similar to like the Patriots culture, which is obviously the complete opposite of them, it's like when you get to that team, you kind of embody what that is. That's why it's been so hard for people to wrap their arms around Derek Carr as a Raider, because his personality doesn't seem to fit that. And as of late, he's kind of he's kind of fitting in that too. Like, he's tired of being disrespected. He's writing his name on the stadium after the win. It's good.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Three-time champ, Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's not waste any time getting to my friend Mark Schlereth's three Super Bowls, two Pro Bowls. By the way, he's got Tom Brady and the Bucks at Denver this week. We'll get to that in a second. We bring him in live, Mark Schlereth. I do want to start with Cam Newton, because you did some Cam Newton games in the previous couple years. Are you surprised that it's worked in New England to this level?
No, I mean, the health was always the biggest concern and the biggest question mark for me. I'll go back to 2018 covering Cam Newton as a member of the Carolina Panthers, and he had this almost epiphany, if you will, under North Turner, that you can't survive playing the way you have played all this time. And I think when you're a supremely gifted athlete like Cam Newton is, your default mechanism oftentimes is from the neck down. So I'm such a great athlete. When things break down, I'm just going to go make an athletic play. And Norv really worked on his mindset about getting the ball out, getting it out on time, and letting your playmakers do that for you. And there was a real shift there. And if you remember back to 2018, before he injured that shoulder, in about the first 8 or 9 games, there was just about no other quarterback that was playing at a higher level than Cam Newton when it came to throwing the ball accurately and on time. And so I think it's been one of those things that it was such a short window that we kind of forgot about it. And now that he's healthy, because he's had 2 years where he wasn't, he has just continued to carry that over and really understand the game at a higher level. And that was something that he really worked on back with Norv Turner as the offensive coordinator, and it's just carried on. So, you know, I always felt like Cam could be the, like, my thing with him was accuracy issues early in his career, but I think with Norv Turner, he worked on those things exclusively, and then just staying healthy. Can you stay healthy? That was the big question mark. He's healthy. He looks the part. He is playing really good football right now.
All right, Bucks-Broncos, you have that game. It's Sunday at 4. I'll be watching that. It's on Fox. First of all, I want you to talk about Vic Fangio in Denver. He's not on the hot seat according to all the lists. What is up in Denver? Do they have a chance to win, and what's the status of Fangio?
Yeah, well, I think the status of Fangio right now with the injury issues that you have, I mean, you've lost your best defensive player in Von Miller. You've lost your best offensive player in Cortland Sutton. You lost your quarterback as well in Drew Locke. And, you know, this was what I was saying about the Denver Broncos when everybody was, you know, having a victory parade for the draft and all the speed they drafted at wide receiver. Being fast, You know, running a great 40, you know what that makes you? It makes you fast. It doesn't make you a great football player, and it doesn't make you a great football team. And until you block people and you look at this organization, and this has been something that's been a bugaboo for them for quite some time now. If you can't block people, I don't care how fast and athletic you are. If you can't win the line of scrimmage on a consistent basis, you are not going to win. And that was an issue. Last weekend, 7 sacks they gave up, not all on the offensive line, some on the quarterback, and 19 quarterback hits. I don't care. You're not going to win any games that way. So Vic Fangio has to, you know, solve those issues right there, solve his game management issues. And when they get Drew Lock back, they're going to have to start winning some football games. Otherwise, based on this organization's history and based on John Elway, he's not afraid to make a change. So is it the seat hot yet? No. But is it starting to warm up? I would say, yeah, probably a little bit.
Okay, as you look at the film, Bucks, Broncos, you have the game. What jumps out to you to Tampa right now?
Well, everybody's going to talk about offense because, you know, that's what people talk about, right? They're all fantasy football teams, and you talk about Brady and you know, and what he's in this new offense and how this thing is working. And, you know, that's still a work in progress. As Tom Brady told me last week, I had them last week, he said, you know, I was married for 20 years, right? And now I'm dating for 6 weeks. I don't know, like, my date like I knew my wife, right? Like, I was married in New England for 20 years in the same system. I'm learning a new language. I've changed everything I'm doing. And most quarterbacks, they're so inquisitive. Most great players are so inquisitive. They're so curious. It's not enough to just know what the play is. I want to know why we're running it, what the origin of the play is. Those guys, I find the greatest players in the history of this league are super curious about everything. They want to know every detail. And that's what Tom Brady's going through right now, getting his receivers on the same page. But what jumps out more than that, Colin, is you look at the defense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they have a chance to be one of the great defenses. The defenses that we talk about, like the 2013 Legion of Boom in Seattle or the 2015 no-fly zone in Denver. All three levels of their defense have Pro Bowl, all-pro type of players. Their two linebackers nobody knows about, Lavonte David and Devin White. Those two guys, I would put those two guys up against any inside linebackers in football. They are fast. They are furious. There's this competition. And there's a guy, you know, that Carlton Davis at the cornerback, he's in his third year. Carlton Davis has become one of the premier cover corners in football that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
In last year, he faced off with DeAndre Hopkins. In 9 targets, he gave up 23 yards of receptions. In week 1 against Michael Thomas, he gave up 3 catches for 17 yards. The guy is a premier player that people don't know about, and they have him on all three levels of their defense. So that's really what jumps off the page for me.
Yeah, Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea playing well. This is a really – and Todd Bowles is a really sharp guy. Couple minutes left. Monday Night Football. I don't think I've ever criticized Drew Brees before, but I said he looked a lot like Kirk Cousins. I mean, Derek Carr was clearly livelier, let her rip, moved better. What did you make of Drew Brees on Monday?
Yeah, it wasn't. The thing that surprised me, and I understand that, you know, Michael Thomas was out and you don't have a great rapport yet with Emmanuel Sanders, but the biggest thing was the off-target throws. Like, the one thing about Drew Brees is he is always on target, you know, short, intermediate, even deep. And there were so many off-target throws that put you behind the chains and, like, late with stuff, there just wasn't a rhythm or an in-sync nature to what they were doing on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, I'm not going to push the panic button with Drew Brees. I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, you know, like a lot of people can't wait to write the obit, right? They can't wait to write the obit of Tom Brady. They can't wait to write the obit of Drew Brees because they're defying, you know, they're defying Father Time. Like I said about Tom Brady on the broadcast, you know, he's got Father Time in a headlock with his back on the canvas and he's getting near fall points. You know, I mean, like, I know it gets you eventually, but I'm not ready to kind of write off these guys because of age. There's a rhythm to offense. And right now, Drew Brees and the Saints just don't seem to have that rhythm.
Yeah. Good seeing you, buddy. I love seeing you. You're going to be doing the Bucks Broncos, 4:00 Fox. Really interesting game. Keep your eye, as Mark said, on the defensive personnel for Tampa. Wildly underrated, overshadowed by Brady, Arians, Mike Evans, and the like. Good seeing you, Mark. Thanks.
Likewise, Colin. Take care, buddy.
Most life-changing sleep is Casper. Casper.com. Go to the code HERD. Back alignment, sleeping cool. Pillows, mattresses, duvets, nobody does it better than Casper. All right, first 2 hours fly by today. Joel Klatt, Nick Wright, Mark Schlereth. Mark appeared to like me more than Klatt and Nick Wright. We're going to see about further bookings for those two. You know, it'd be nice once in a while, get a little support from the staff. And also on this show, not the other network, we gave you exclusive video from Portugal of the most amazing young woman in the world who surfed down a 80-foot wall of water. Don't get that on the other shows. You just get hockey scores. Not here. Hour three, Tristan Thompson will join us, the current Cleveland Cavalier, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd.